Radio Prague News.
The Czech government offers to help in the Hurricane Katrina relief effort. Opposition politicians call for lower taxes on petrol, and embezzlement charges are filed in the Socialist Youth Union property case. The Czech government has offered to help with the disaster relief effort now underway in the U.S. city of New Orleans. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek made the offer to help victims of Hurricane Katrina on Monday, following talks with the U.S. ambassador to Prague, William Cabanis. He said the Czech government would make available a field hospital, military and civil aircraft and water pumps, as well as teams of anti-chemical specialists and health workers. The government has set aside $1 million for the first phase of disaster aid if the U.S. accepts. A response was expected by Friday. In related news, the opposition Civic Democrats have said the party will seek a fast-track cut in the excise tax on petrol. Prices have risen sharply at Czech filling stations due to the knock-on effect of Hurricane Katrina and a rise in the price of oil worldwide. The excise tax now stands at just under 12 crowns per liter for petrol and 10 crowns per liter for diesel, less than one-third of the total price. Finance Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has said there are no plans to cut the taxes, but that the ministry was looking into ways to help offset costs for transporters and others seriously affected by the rising cost of fuel. The Czech currency has further gained against the common European currency, reaching 29.03 crowns to the euro on Monday morning, following fresh data from the United States. The currency is nearing its record high of 28.92 against the euro, which was set in July 2002. Meanwhile, as expected, Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek confirmed on Monday that the government is looking to delay the adoption of the euro by 1 year to 2010. A former liquidator of property once owned by the communist-controlled Socialist Youth Union is facing criminal charges for embezzlement. Pavel Jacques, along with a former lawyer for the youth organization and the director of a related company, is thought to have cheated the state out of some 37 million crowns. They are charged with colluding to sell the properties below market price for personal gain. Parliament had forced Jacques to resign from his post last December. And finally, a look at the weather. Clear skies and daytime highs of up to 28 degrees Celsius is the forecast for the next couple of days. I'm Brian Kennedy. Stay tuned for the rest of the program.
You're tuned to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Coming up, after initial skepticism, most Czechs now say membership of the European Union is a good thing. An unusual circus season in Prague, and a new Czech radio station dedicated to science. Please stay with us. It's been just over a year since the Czech Republic joined the European Union, and the report card, in a sense, is in. This week, the European Commission released the results of the latest Eurobarometer poll, the first since 10 new countries joined last May. It showed Czechs, often seen as somewhat sceptical about the EU, were feeling increasingly satisfied with membership. Jan Wellinger has more.
A little more than 1 year on, despite unresolved questions over the EU constitution and the future of Turkish accession, Czechs are feeling pretty good about being in the European Union. According to the Eurobarometer poll just released, a majority, 56% of Czechs, now see the country as benefiting directly from membership, an increase from about 40% who were sceptical prior to accession last May. Why the increase in positive numbers? Sociologist Jan Hartl, the head of the STEM agency in Prague, explains possible reasons for the shift.
Generally speaking, we can say that the attitude of the Czech population towards European Union is prevailingly favorable, and that 1 year in the European Union means a success to the Czech population. Important factor was that there was no negative development, there was no increase of prices, no negative surprise of any kind. That's one explanation.
But another, according to Jan Hartl, may be even more important.
Another explanation is that the situation in European Union relative stability deeply contrasts with turmoil on the Czech domestic political scene. Last autumn brought about a very strong increase in negative evaluation of Czech economic situation, and further on there was a political crisis early in the spring of this year. It means that whereas Czechs are very skeptical, pessimistic and dissatisfied with the domestic situation, evaluation of European Union is positive, perceived even more as one of the possible solutions of overcoming domestic problems.
The numbers so far back that up. One daily on Monday reporting that trust in Europe's institutions, the EU Parliament, for example, continued to far outrank the Czech Parliament, now enjoying public confidence of just 23%. There's irony in that, too. New numbers have also shown that the vast majority of Czechs, a reported 80% according to a new STEM poll, have little idea just how the EU's institutions really work. By that measure, the Czechs' trust seems somewhat blind.
People stress the importance of freedom. They highly praise the idea of integration the idea of promoting democracy, but it's mainly very general and abstract.
The Czech economy is currently healthy within the EU, with expanding exports and salaries on the increase. Should they start to waver, though, it will be interesting to see how quickly the public mood might change.
Thanks, Jan. And could I ask you what kind of an impression do you get from Czechs that you've met about EU membership a year later or a year and a bit later?
Well, it's true. Yesterday we went out on the street and talked to a number of different people. And I was surprised because the reaction really was overwhelmingly in favor, or at worst, kind of a mild reaction where people said it didn't really affect their lives in any way. But from the perspective of the EU, even that is of course, a positive result.
And the EU has also been in the news for another reason, and that's because Petr Hajek, the spokesman for the president, President Václav Klaus, he has taken his own rather unusual stand against the EU. Could you tell us more about what he's been up to?
Yeah, that's a funny story. What he's gone and done is erected a sign on his property which shows an EU flag, but it's an EU flag that's been crossed out. He's told journalists that it's just kind of a provocation or a joke. But he also admitted that it does reflect his personal opinion, and I guess that shouldn't surprise anybody. He is, after all, the president's spokesman, and Václav Klaus himself is one of our more well-known Euro-skeptics, or Euro-realists, as he likes to call himself. Of course, we do know that Hayek himself has been consistently also a skeptic. Last year, one report had him shuddering at the thought of putting an EU flag next to the Czech one at Prague Castle. He called that idea chilling. So clearly a different barometer for everyone about how they feel about the EU.
But so far, no sign at Prague Castle saying the EU stops here. Thanks very much for that, Jan Wellinger. Now, Letná Plain, just a stone's throw from Prague Castle, was the venue for one of the most colourful cultural events in the capital this summer. Letní Letná, or Summer Letná, featuring a wide variety of performers, including the world-famous Cirque Baroque from France. Letní Letná has just come to an end. Alexander Orn caught one of the final performances.
More than a circus, Letní Letná is a new circus performance. Among many other performers, this year's lead guest is the Cirque Baroque, one of the founders of the new circus. We are with Mr. Christian Taguet from the Cirque Baroque.
Baroque in French means the contrary of the normal. And in the dictionary, the example is a guy not riding a horse but holding it on his shoulders. So I decide to call Cirque Baroque, mean weird, mean different. When we decide 25 years ago to start to create some kind of theatrical language with the circus and tell stories to people through a show, circus show, it was called Nouveau Cirque. We are here to present one show named Ningen. Ningen means human being in Japanese. It's more or less based on a book from Yukio Mishima, Confession of a Mask, which is mostly autobiographic. And this is unique. This is very special because nobody makes this kind of show about on this type of subject, which is more or less a contradiction between a very modern aspect of the Japan today and the respect of the tradition they have, which is very strong too.
Did you expect a show like this for tonight?
I expected something I would really enjoy, and I enjoy it.
So when you hear about Letni Letna, you think of the circus or a new circus?
New circus. I wouldn't go to a circus. I like new circus.
Even if you miss the performances, there's still something to do here in Letni Letna. You can have a beer served by a Czech musician, talk and listen to music, dance to the early hours of the morning. And everybody's satisfied.
I think there are not so many complaints from children that they wanted to see a lion.
Anyway, whether it be circus or new circus, Letni Letna is quite a performance to see.
And enjoying all the fun of the circus was Alexander Orn.
Český rozhlas Leonardo, 01, magazín o lidech, technice a technologii.
A jingle for a new station just launched by Czech Radio called Leonardo, and it specializes in science and nature. In this week's Czech Science, Pavla Horáková looks at what Leonardo is all about.
Science and humanities programs have traditionally been among the most popular on Czech Radio's stations. On top of producing a variety of its own programs, Leonardo gives those who've missed a science program on another station a chance to hear it again. Editor Markéta Kaclová.
We're launching the station on the 1st of September, and it's focused on popularizing science and history and nature. We've got several specialized magazines, and it's really about nature, the human. Another is about history, the techniques, and the last is about traveling. You can listen to us through the internet on www.rozhlas.cz/Leonardo, but it's more in Czech than in English. It's 23 hours in Czech, and 1 hour is another language. For example, English, of course, the other is French, Spanish, German, Russian, and Slovak, of course.
And where do the programs in the foreign languages come from?
It's Radio France Internationale, ORF, Österreich, then Radio Russia, Slovak Radio, and Radio Netherlands.
Present at the launch of Leonardo were a number of prominent scientists, among them the president of the Czech Academy of Sciences, Václav Pačes. I asked him about his view on the new science and nature station.
I welcome it extremely, and I am sure that it will be very, very well received. I would very much wish that it is well received by the young generation of people who would like perhaps to devote their lives to science, to research. This is very important for the prosperity of the country.
And is the Academy going to cooperate more closely with this station?
Absolutely. Academy of Sciences is in a position where we very much welcome this new station, but we also are ready to cooperate. We started cooperation many, many years ago, but now I think it will have to be strengthened, it will have to be fortified, and we are ready to do it.
A reminder, this is Radio Prague, where it's now time for this week's edition of our interview program, One on One. And Jan Wellinger's guest this week is Ted Wong.
Welcome to One on One. Today my guest is Ted Wong, an American music as well as English teacher of Korean, Japanese, and yes, Czech descent, who has lived and worked in Prague for the last 13 years. Ted studied music education in Valparaiso, Indiana, and taught piano and English at the now-defunct theater department at the conservatory here in Prague. He's involved in numerous music projects and wrote the lyrics for several songs for two up-and-coming stars, contestants in the country's first edition of Pop Idol. You'll find out what that was like, but first here's Ted discussing his family and his connection with Prague.
I come from a family of travelers. My father was born in Korea, in North Korea, and fled to South Korea during the war and then emigrated to America, where he met my mother. My great-grandfather was from Japan, and my great-grandmother was from Pilsen in what was then the Austro-Hungarian Empire. I was born in New York, and I came here.
What do you know about your great-grandmother?
Unfortunately, we don't know very much about her. Her name was Kandlova, and she met my great-grandfather when he was working for an American businessman who was living in London, and they went to Germany on vacation, and they went back to America together. And my grandmother had a lot of documents about her, but when my grandmother died, my mother, feeling that nobody in our family spoke Czech or was ever going to speak Czech, threw all the documents away just about a year before I came here and started to learn Czech.
That is a shame.
It's a terrible shame. Someday I have to go to Pilsen and try to look her up. But I'm a little bit afraid what they're going to say when I show up at the registry and say, "Excuse me, I'm looking for family records." Because I don't look very Czech.
Now, you came here 13 years ago in 1992. What actually led you to come to this country?
That's another kind of bizarre story. Our family's just full of them. But I taught high school music for 3 years in the States, which I'd wanted to do ever since I was a little kid. And it didn't work for me. They were the three worst years of my life. I hated my job. I hated going to work in the morning. And when I finally quit, I was very confused because I'd basically wanted to do it all my life. And at the time, I was living in Cedar Falls, Iowa. And I went to Minneapolis to see a musical, which I wouldn't have done except somebody paid for my ticket. After the show was over, we called a friend of ours, which I probably also wouldn't have done except somebody else thought of it. And we all decided to go out to a restaurant. At that moment, into the restaurant walked a friend of mine whom I hadn't seen for 4 years. He discovered that I had nothing to do, and he said, "In a month, I'm going back to Prague, and you can come with me." The whole time that I had been trying to figure out my life, I'd been basically praying for four things. I wanted to live in a big city again. I wanted to go someplace a little bit far away and start fresh. I wanted a small church with a family atmosphere, and I wanted a big adventure. And I was thinking about Houston. I thought that was pretty far away. But when he said Prague, even though I didn't exactly know where Prague was, like most Americans, I had some faint memories from high school history. I just knew that that was it. This was the big chance that I shouldn't let go. So I sold the car, returned the apartment, moved my stuff to my parents, and bought a plane ticket, and I've never looked back since.
What did you end up doing in the first years that you were here?
I started to teach English. It was all conversation at that point because I'm trained as a music teacher, not as an English teacher. But through the years, I've gained that experience. So I mostly now teach English. Do a lot of music as well. I spend a lot of time in the studio with singers who want to sing in English, checking their pronunciation and their phrasing and their expression. And I write texts for singers. I translate for Supraphone, which is the largest Czech classical music record label. What else do I do?
a lot, evidently. When we first met, it was through a story about the first edition of Pop Idol called Česko hledá superstar here in the Czech Republic. And professionally, you were involved with two of the people who took part in that contest who have since become countrywide stars. Samer Issa is one, and Martina Balogová is another. Tell me, what were those experiences like working with the two of them on their individual albums?
They were very positive experiences. Jorge Corante is a top producer from America who has done songs for Janet Jackson and Celine Dion and people like that. He did Summer's album. I'm looking forward to Summer's next album, which we are writing at the moment. Martina was also really good. She has a fabulous voice, and she learns really quickly. I hope that she also does another album, but we'll see.
In terms of their talent, are they superstars? Are they really pop idols?
It depends on how you define talent. I think it's very important to make a distinction between show business and music. Not that people who are in show business are not talented, but it's a different set of talents from people who are musicians. Samer is a spectacular showman. He makes a connection with the audience, and particularly with his audience, he makes a very almost tangible connection. But I'd probably have to say that Martina has more musical talent. Martina, on the other hand, doesn't always connect with the audience. So, yes, they're both very talented, but in different ways.
There are legions of young fans and teenagers and grown-ups as well who would kill to be in your shoes.
Oh, I hope so, because I hope they buy the albums.
Now tell me about the songs that you wrote, how those came about.
Songs that I wrote for Samer were both written by Ondra Brzovohati, who was one of the hosts of the first round of Pop Idol. And I wrote the lyrics somewhere along the way called Was Up. He sings to a girl that he sees, I don't know, in a club or on the street, and she's really gorgeous, and he doesn't know if she's looking at him or if she's not looking at him. I think it's a situation most of us have been in. And the second one, Let Me Apologize, is more romantic. It was the song on the album that was most in kind of in the direction of jazz almost. And it's a song that says, I was wrong, I was stupid, and I want to say I'm sorry. Mostly, I try to pick up on the mood of the parts that have to be really catchy and have to really make, try to center the message of the song.
When do you write?
My best ideas always come to me in the shower and in the metro or in the bus, anywhere where I don't have pencil and paper. I try to have it with me everywhere now, but usually when I'm trying to think about other things, is when I get ideas for lyrics or songs.
I'm sure people ask you this all the time, but how long do you intend to stay in the Czech Republic?
Traditionally, as the oldest son, when my parents get old enough that they need help on a day-to-day basis, I will probably go back. But if I had my way, I would stay here forever.
And Jan Wellinger's guest on One-on-One was Ted Wong. And now that brings us to the end of today's program, I'm afraid. If you've got any comments or queries, don't hesitate to contact us. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. We're going to play you out today with a song written by Ted Wong. It's called What's Up, and it's performed by Samer Issa. And that's all from us on Radio Prague here today. Thanks for listening. Goodbye and take care.
been hurt before, and now you wanna know for sure that I'm not gonna play you and walk out the door. So tell me, is this my lucky day?
Posloucháte Rádio Praha.